Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's time to have some fun with the first pick, with the second pick, with the third pick, with the fourth pick, with the fifth pick. The NFL draft is officially open.
Here's Zach Gelb.
We start our 2019 mock draft conversation with the Arizona Cardinals, who do hold the number one pick in this year's draft. A lot of speculation that they will take Kyler Murray, or will they keep Josh Rosen and elect to address the defensive side of the ball? Bob McManaman, who covers the Cardinals for the Arizona Republic, is here with us. Bob, who do you have the Cardinals taking number one?
Let me just preface it by saying everyone's going to be shocked and everybody's going to be screwed, because I'm picking Quinnen Williams, not Kyler Murray.
From to throw, pressure, have a seat. Quinnen Williams, come on down.
Even though the Cardinals might pick Kyler Murray, I have a feeling and a good hunch that the general manager, Steve Keim, he's never been in this situation before. He's drooling over these defensive players. He said what it's a pain. It's been such a pain. He's never been able to draft this high, even though it's not a thing you want to do all the time because it means you're losing. That he's always had to slap these big grades on these great prospects, and he's never been close enough to draft them. Now he can do it. He's in charge, even though he has a new coach who loves Kyler Murray. And that way may very well indeed be the pick. I think Steve Keim is going to win out over Cliff Kingsbury, and I think he's going to take Quinnen Williams, who will definitely change the landscape on this defense in the NFC West. As important as a quarterback is, so is an edge guy and a disruptor up front.
There's been so much speculation that Murray is going one like you're talking about. How will the fans react if they elect not to go Kyler Murray one and take Quinnen Williams?
I guess it depends on where Kyler Murray goes and how he does. They spent a third and a fifth round pick to move up five spots to get Josh Rosen. I think a lot of fans, from what I hear, what they email me and what they tweet me all the time, is that Josh Rosen hasn't gotten a fair shake. A lot of people didn't think Steve Wilkes did, but more people seem to be okay on the bandwagon and letting him go than this quarterback. Kyler Murray is so intriguing, and that has half the fan base galvanized towards him. So definitely going to be a split. We'll see what Kyler Murray can do wherever he goes, whether it's here, Oakland, or God knows where.
Next up, the 49ers are sitting there at number two. Matt Maiocco covers the 49ers for the NBC Sports Bay Area. Matt, who do the San Francisco 49ers, led by John Lynch, take at number two?
Nick Bosa, Ohio State University.
Konepke gets the snap, drops back to throw. More pressure coming. Konepke in trouble, being
Bosa.
Chased. Nick Bosa's got him, slings him down at the 10-yard line. Nick Bosa, freshman from Fort Lauderdale, Florida.
Yeah, the 49ers need another pass rusher. They didn't have any kind of edge rush presence last year. They acquired Dee Ford from Kansas City in a trade in the offseason. But I think the acquisition or bringing in Nick Bosa to rush the passer from the other side makes the 49ers defense a very viable defense. And it's the kind of thing where with Dee Ford on one side, Bosa on the other, it helps every level of that defense. The linebackers, the cornerbacks, the safeties. The inside guy, DeForest Buckner, now has some help. He led the team last year with 12 sacks. He's a dominant type of defensive tackle. Well, with Dee Ford and now Nick Bosa, DeForest Buckner becomes an even better player.
There was a lot of optimism with the 49ers last year, and it all changed when Jimmy Garoppolo went down with the torn ACL. How do you view the 49ers season being this upcoming year?
Well, I think they have an opportunity to make a pretty big leap, you know, from a team that disappointingly won four games last year. They lost two of their offensive guys, the guys that they figured to really feature really before the season even started. Jerick McKinnon, the running back, went down with an ACL tear a week before the start of the regular season. Jimmy Garoppolo went down in week three. So they're basically playing with backup running backs, and they're playing with a backup and a third string quarterback for much of the season. Well, they've added Tevin Coleman to go along with McKinnon. Matt Breida played very well last year as the number one back. Jimmy Garoppolo is getting healthy. He's rounding into shape. He should be ready for the opening of the offseason program. So you kind of combined better weapons, you know, more explosive ability on offense with an improved defense. And I think the 49ers have a chance to go from a team that was completely an afterthought last year to a team that could be entering December very much in the playoff hunt.
No quarterback selected yet. We know a team that has their quarterback for the future is a team that took their quarterback at number three a year ago. The Jets have Sam Darnold, and they also have the third overall pick in the draft once again. We welcome in Brian Costello, who covers the Jets for WFAN and the New York Post. Brian, in our mock draft, who do you have the Jets taking at number three?
Number three, I have the Jets taking Josh Allen, the linebacker out of Kentucky.
Stockstill. Boom! Sacked! And there it is! There's a new career leader in sacks, and his name is Josh Allen!
The Jets really needed an outside pass rusher since John Abraham left back in 2005. He left after, and they really haven't had a true edge rusher since. It's been a big hole in their defenses under the last few coaches, and you know this is a perfect opportunity for them to fill that hole for Adam Gase and Greg Williams entering their first year with the Jets and be able to put some pressure on the quarterback.
And Josh Allen would add to a defense that does feature Jamal Adams, C.J. Mosley, and Avery Williamson, some nice pieces to have for Greg Williams as the defensive coordinator of Gangrene. We go to the offensive side of the ball, though. The Jets made a big splash in free agency by landing Le'Veon Bell. Sam Darnold is entering year number two, and Adam Gase is the head coach going from the Dolphins to the Jets. What will the Adam Gase offense look like in year number one?
I think it'll be an improved offense with Bell and Sam going into his second year. I also think Adam Gase will bring some creativity that the Jets lacked last year with Jeremy Bates as the offense coordinator. So I think they'll be improved, but this still has a lot of holes. The offensive line is still shaky. They traded for Kelechi Osemele at guard, but other than that, they really didn't upgrade the offensive line. And, you know, they have some good receivers, Robbie Anderson, Quincy Enunwa. They signed Jameson Crowder, but none of those guys are really top receivers in the league, number one type guys. So I think they still have some work to do on the offensive side of the ball.
Well, an interesting development. No quarterbacks taken yet. A lot of rumors that Kyler Murray may go to Oakland if he is available. Matt Schneidman covers the Raiders for the Mercury News in the 2019 Zach Gilb Show mock draft. Matt, who do you have John Gruden taking at number four?
Ed Oliver from Houston.
Back to pass. Looking downfield. Ferguson hit. Sack! A five-yard loss as he is hit by guess who? Yeah, you don't need to guess. Just go with Ed Oliver.
I was not expecting Kyler Murray to still be available, but I do think the Raiders are sold on Derek Carr, so I'm going to go Ed Oliver, defensive lineman out of Houston.
Why do you think the Raiders are sold on Derek Carr? And if Murray is available, how tough of a temptation will that be for John Gruden not to take him?
I think it'll be a pretty tough temptation because Gruden is just so enamored with him. Not necessarily because he likes him more than Carr, because he's a quarterback guy. Murray is a dynamic quarterback, and he kind of represents the way the NFL is trending in terms of this pass-happy league with quarterbacks who can do it all. And Gruden has one in his division in Patrick Mahomes, and Kyler Murray maybe down the road will resemble Mahomes more so than Derek Carr. But I think Gruden and Mayock have come to the conclusion that first they need to give Derek Carr an offensive line and receivers, and that's what this offseason was about. The last two seasons, he hasn't really had either of those in a full capacity like he did in 2016. So I think they're giving Derek Carr one more year at minimum, and I think that's why they're going to go with a defensive lineman here to address their serious pass rush issue.
We go to pick number five in our 2019 NFL mock draft, and we now go down south to Tampa Bay, where Tampa Bay Buccaneers sideline reporter TJ Reeves is here with us. TJ, tell us who you have the Bucs taken at number five.
Devin White, linebacker, LSU.
They come up to the line in a hurry from the pitch. Now it's an end around. And it's DeAndre Swift, and he's short. Devin White made the tackle.
Well, interesting what you've laid out in front of me, because their biggest needs appear to be on the defensive line, especially with Bruce Arians bringing in a 3-4 defense, looking for a true nose tackle. I know in this mock draft that Ed Oliver, who's somebody they're very high on, has gone right in front of this selection. Bucks also need linebacking help, Zach. They lost Quan Alexander in free agency. They're thin anyway at linebacker, and I think it will be awfully hard for them to pass up LSU linebacker Devin White. So if Devin White is sitting there at number five and the Bucks keep the pick, and that's the one qualifier that we'll talk about in a second, if they keep that pick under your scenario, I think they're going with the LSU linebacker Devin White to pair him next to Lavonte David on that defense.
So you're expecting them possibly to trade back is what you're saying?
Two of the last 3 years, my friend, that's exactly what GM Jason Light has done, including a year ago when they traded back from the 7th spot to the 12th spot, swapping with Buffalo, getting two number two picks for that. So it would not surprise me if they are sitting there and the guy that they really want, whether that's Oliver or White, gets taken. White might get taken before this spot at number five, and so they might be inclined, the Buccaneers, to move back. But under this scenario, they need linebacking help. Give me the linebacker.
So much of this offseason has been made about the new coach and Bruce Arians and how he'll be the guy to get Jameis Winston's career going back in the right direction. Give me your feel on the Bruce Arians and Jameis Winston relationship and why it may work.
The movie is a little young for me, much younger for you, but it was a famous one in the 70s. It's Now or Never, and no, I'm not going to sing it. It's Now or Never for him in Tampa Bay. If Bruce Arians, who has a track record with Ben Roethlisberger, with Andrew Luck, Peyton Manning, did great with Carson Palmer in Arizona. If he can't get the best out of Jameis Winston, then unfortunately it's never in Tampa Bay. Either he's going to flourish for this 2019 season or that's going to be it. And look, I'll put my money on flourishing because Jameis has got a lot of talent. He's matured. This is the best opportunity he's had in his career now to succeed. With everything in front of him, let's see what happens with that relationship.
As we advance to number six, I'm very much surprised that no offensive players have been taken off the board so far. And this sets up a situation for the Giants that could be an ideal scenario or an absolute complete mess. We know they need a quarterback for the future with Eli Manning at the age of 38. The question is, does Dave Gettleman want to take a quarterback or will he upset the fan base that's looking for a replacement for Eli Manning? We welcome in next our GiantsNJ.com beat reporter, and that's Ryan Dunleavy. Ryan, who do you have the Giants taking at number six in our mock draft?
Well, you guys have really given me a nightmare scenario here. I would love to take one of those first five players, any of those first five players, Williams, Bosa, Allen, any of those sound great to the Giants, Oliver. But with this board, I'm going to take Rashawn Gary from Michigan, the defensive lineman.
Ramsey back to throw. Sack time! Rashawn Gary!
I don't think the Giants are looking quarterback at six, although seeing Kyler Murray there is sort of the wild card that I don't think anybody on the Giants certainly is expecting to see him at six.
Why not a quarterback for the Giants if they had both available in your mind?
Because they have the number 17 pick in the draft, and the way this sets up, you're telling me Daniel Jones, Drew Locke, Kyler Murray, and Dwayne Haskins are all going to go somewhere after pick six, and I have pick 17. I'll probably count on Jones or Locke being there at 17, maybe even Haskins being there at 17. And this way I get my best defensive player available, which to me is Gary. I thought about Montez Sweat at Mississippi State, but to me it's Gary, and then I'll get my quarterback at 17 and feel like I had a really good first round.
And no one knows truly what Dave Gettleman is thinking. However, though, since being plugged into the organization like you are and there every day, if you had to give me their top three rankings for quarterbacks, just give me the names. How would you rank them 1 through 3?
Well, assuming we count Murray, then I would say my guess would be it's Drew Locke, Murray, and Haskins. Drew Locke, Murray, and Daniel Jones. I don't think they're interested in Haskins, but I think Murray will be long gone by then, so I think we're looking at Drew Locke, Jones, and Haskins.
We'll go to pick number 7, and we'll make a stop in Jacksonville, Florida, where we'll be joined now by John Reed, and you could read him as he covers the Jacksonville Jaguars for the Florida Times-Union. John, who do you have the Jaguars taking at number 7?
I have them taking Florida's Juwan Taylor, the offensive right guard. No problem. It's just that the Jaguars offensive line, they right now, they don't really have a clear-cut projected starter. and here's a kid who can come in and fill that void. I mean, the Jaguars obviously like his size, mobility, and strength, and, you know, they need to get some protection for Nick Foles and try to upgrade that running game, who slipped to 19th after they led the league in 2018. And just stability is the issue with this team. And it all starts with that offensive line, and they had a lot of problems with that unit last season with the injuries and the inconsistency.
2 years ago, the Jaguars were the great surprise story of the National Football League. Last year did not live up to the hype. You mentioned they now have Nick Foles as their starting quarterback. What can fans expect out of the Jaguars this year?
Well, I mean, I think this team need to get back to winning. I mean, obviously, you know, 8-8 would be something that's good, but I think they got to get back to the basics. They think they had too many distractions, and obviously Nick Foles bring a quarterback who can throw the ball downfield and be consistent, but this team just has to avoid injuries, and they just have to play consistent, and they got to keep their mind on playing football and not be distracted by so many off-the-field issues.
We go from Florida to Detroit, as next up in our mock draft, sitting in at number 8, are the Detroit Lions. Dave Burkett does a great job covering the Lions for the Detroit Free Press, and he's kind enough to join us. Dave, tell us who you got the Lions taking at number 8.
I've got the Lions taking Iowa tight end T.J. Hockenson.
Stanley has to get rid of the ball. Now he's running, rolls out to his left, wants somebody, fires it downfield toward the post, and it's intended for T.J. Hockenson, and caught by T.J. Hockenson. Wow, what a catch!
Look, I think, you know, they'd love to trade down in this scenario. Bob Quinn has certainly made that clear, and I think, you know, if one of those top pass rushers was available, Josh Allen if he fell, or even Annette Oliver, maybe they would go that direction. But the Lions need some help on offense still. Hockenson's a versatile player. He can help in the run game. He can help as a receiver downfield. He fits what the Lions want at that position. So he makes all the sense in the world in this scenario at number 8.
When we take a look at the Lions, let's start it off with their head football coach in Matt Patricia. Last year, what stood out to me from afar wasn't necessarily the play on the field. It was the outdoor practices and him questioning reporters' postures in press conferences. What does he have to prove this year as the head football coach of the Lions?
Well, I think you're 100% right that, you know, from a talent standpoint, the Lions were probably better than a 6-win team last year. You know, not that they were a 12-win team, but, you know, they underachieved on the field. And I think Matt did some good things from an X's and O standpoint, the way they played against the Patriots, the way they kept some games close when they were outmanned late in the season. But what he really needs to do is prove that he can get his players to play for him and play for him for all 16 weeks of the season, because you know, there was a large portion of that locker room that just didn't seem to respond to him and his methods last year. So, new locker room this year, you know, they're going to have 40% new players, and, you know, there's a chance that it's different. He's installed his ways now, his system, his program. So maybe year two will be a better judge of whether that works for Patricia or not.
We'll now go from Detroit to Buffalo. Sitting at number 9 are the Bills. Matthew Fairburn does a great job covering the Bills for The Athletic, and he's kind enough to tell us who the Bills have at number 9, Matt.
Yeah, here I'm going to give the Bills Montez Sweat, defensive end from Mississippi State.
Pressured hit, he's going down! Montez Sweat ate up the quarterback back near the 25.
I think the one caveat here is, you know, that, you know, this is a guy that does have a medical red flag with his heart issue, but the Bills really need help on the defensive line. That they have two defensive ends entering contract years, so to be able to get a guy like this who can generate some pressure off the edge would be a huge help to this defense.
We know the Bills defense was a strength last year. The big question mark, though, is the offense and what they will have in the year of 2019. We know their quarterback is going to be Josh Allen. What can he provide Buffalo in year number 2? What are your expectations for Josh?
Yeah, I think that the Bills are expecting him to make a significant jump forward because they've surrounded him with a lot more talent than he had around him a year ago. They've beefed up the offensive line with a ton of free agent additions. They added a few wide receivers in free agency in John Brown and Cole Beasley. I mean, they haven't added superstars around him, but it's definitely a more talented group around him. And so now they're hoping in year 2, a full year in the offseason program, a full training camp, as the starter with some weapons around him, that he can take that next step and become the franchise passer that they drafted him to be.
We wrap up our top 10 of the draft. Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio. And no quarterbacks, to much surprise, have been taken yet. We go to a team that could need a quarterback for the future, and that's Darren McKee, host of talk show out there, 104.3 The Fan. Darren, who do you have the Broncos taking at number 10 in this scenario?
Well, under your idiotic mock draft that has already happened and has shocked the world because apparently you just talked to a bunch of arrogant writers who don't know what's going on, I will exist in the real world and base that Ed Oliver is gone and that Devin White is gone and that everybody who the Broncos really would be interested in is gone and the Broncos can't trade back. The Denver Broncos tell Joe Flacco, rent, don't buy, and draft Drew Lock out of Missouri.
Lock wants to throw, looking, has time, pumps, now fires right side behind the defender, Hall, makes the reception at the 8, touchdown Missouri. He was wide open, and Lock delivered a strike.
I'll agree with you. It is an idiotic mock draft because, to much surprise of myself as well, I'm shocked that it's taken this long for a quarterback to go. Why Drew Lock, though, compared to Kyler Murray or Dwayne Haskins?
Because I'm living in the world of reality here. Kyler Murray just is way, way too much of a stretch for John Elway. And Haskins isn't as much of a stretch, and Haskins did visit the Broncos. But John Elway has always preferred quarterbacks that kind of played like John Elway. And not that Haskins couldn't, because he's a pure pocket, big arm passer. But their interest in Drew Lock just goes a little deeper. They've gone to see him more times. He's been in more often. And he is more in the mold of, frankly, John Elway. So nothing against Haskins. Murray is, forget Murray with the Broncos. That's ridiculous. Because you'd have to change everything around him. John likes big, tall quarterbacks that have got a lot of experience. And it didn't work out with Paxton Lynch. And they probably dropped the ball last year, not getting a quarterback, but not this time around. Drew Lock fits that bill.
We know John Elway has won two Super Bowls as a player, one as an executive with the Broncos. He'll always be a Broncos legend. However, you talk to the great fans of Denver. Are they starting to turn a little bit on John Elway because he hasn't been able to deliver a quarterback since Peyton Manning?
It's been a sketchy conversation. If you want to just acknowledge the greatest person in Broncos history, it's John Elway. We should build a statue. Seriously, we really should build a statue. But the past 3 years, especially the draft in 2017, were so miserable. And the turnover in quarterbacks and coaches has been epic. It's getting a little shorter. The rope's getting a little shorter for John Elway. And John is 62 years old and has 3 years left on his contract. And the Broncos have an inevitable ownership change that is going to happen in the next 2 or 3 years. So time is running a little bit short for the Elway. I call it the age of Elway, which has been amazing. It's been going on since 1983. It's incredible. Built the statue. But at the end of the day, fans want to win, and they want to win now. So there are definitely rumblings amongst the fan base that John can't get it done. We love him, but maybe it's time to move on. This is John Elway's last great comeback.
So there you have it. A lot of surprising picks. We will recap when we come back. Williams 1, Bosa 2, Allen 3, Oliver 4, White 5, Gary 6, Taylor 7, Hockenson 8, Sweat 9, and Drew Lock 10.
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show.
Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio. Recapping our top 10 in the mock draft. So I thought this was a great exercise, and I was fascinated to see how it was going to unfold. I knew right away it wasn't going to go how a lot of people thought it was. Right when Bob McManaman, who covers the team on a daily basis, that's why I find the insight to be compelling, said it's not going to be Murray, it's going to be Quinnen Williams. That's who he went with. Now, when they're making this pick, the writer or the talk show host was put in a position as if they're the GM and what they know about their insight. Now, he explained it could be Kyler Murray, but with his knowledge, he thinks the GM and Steve Keim is going to win out. So if Murray doesn't go one and it is Quinn and Williams, this throws the entire thing off on how people think the draft is going to go. And if Murray doesn't go one, right away at two, or maybe there could be a trade at one, it starts the thought process of, okay, did teams move up? Does a team like the Bengals at 11 move up? Does a team like the Dolphins at 13 move up? Does a team like the Redskins move up? And then if you're in that position where you're in the top five picks, do you say, hey, I'm going to move that far back and potentially move back outside of the top 10? Depends what the haul is. So Williams goes one to the Cardinals. Matt Maiocco takes Bosa two. Hey, that's a pick that, you know, if the 49ers stay put, they're probably going to take a defensive lineman. The Jets, not surprising, go Josh Allen from Kentucky. Now, here's one where I was surprised with. And I've been saying before that I do believe Arizona and Oakland, I wouldn't totally be shocked if they take a quarterback. But I think the Raiders are going to stick with Carr. And for some reason, I'm not fully buying in on Murray going one. I'm not. For some reason, I think they're going to stick with Rosen. And there's been mixed signals, so go either way. However, when I saw the first three picks played out, when I was thinking how this mock draft was going to go, I said, wow, is Matt Steinman going to pass up on Kyler Murray? Is he going to pass up on Kyler Murray with knowing the fact that Gruden loves quarterbacks? And he said Ed Oliver. And Oliver's stock has been all over the place. He was one time thought to be a top three pick. Then with some of the stuff that happened in Houston this year, fell back. Now you're seeing him go in a lot of top tens. He goes at number four. So Steinman must feel pretty confident that Chucky's going to say, yeah, I'm going to stick with Derek Carr. And I actually think he's right. Once again, though, we can't forecast trades, though, in this mock draft. We didn't allow trades. Because then we would have to bump a writer, bring up another writer. It would be too complicated. That's why I was curious to see how these writers would think and talk show hosts would think with the scenarios we did give them. And you have Oliver going four. Now, in the real draft, if Murray's still available at four, maybe a team like Haskins, whoever the quarterback is, I think you'll see a team move up. And is Oakland going to want to trade when you have three first-round picks? Get more picks? Who knows? Devin White goes number five. TJ Reeves takes him. Really not much I could complain about that. I thought TJ gave a pretty good analysis on that. Now, here's the other one. I was surprised by this one. Horowitz. When I texted you the scenarios, that one through five, no quarterback was taken. Did you think Ryan Dunleavy was going to take a quarterback at number six?
Yes.
So did I.
Because here's the thing, when we, you know, in our 2 years of doing this, we get a mixed bag with these insiders. Some are picking based on what they feel the team would do. Some of them are picking based on what they would do.
Yeah. And now, Dunleavy was picking on what he thinks the team would
do. Which I respect. But a lot of the Giants beat writers have been hammering Dave Gettleman that he needs to take a quarterback. They hammered him last year for not taking the quarterback. They're hammering him going into this draft that he needs to take the quarterback. So I was a little surprised that with the pick of the litter, he didn't think the Giants would take a quarterback, which is what I personally believe. So I was a little surprised given that, you know, I'm not a Giants insider by any stretch.
And the explanation he gave was because if you also look at, they have 17 as well. If Gettleman is truly not in love with any of these quarterbacks, well, if it's already at six and there's no quarterback off the board, at 17, potentially your quarterback could be there. But with that being said, if I'm a Giant fan and I'm at six and you take a look and see that it's playing out the way that we laid it out, if you're not taking a quarterback at six, I'm not waiting until 17 because I want my guy. I don't want to risk it up to chance. If you're going to say, oh, risk it and let the guy get away,
then you truly don't love that quarterback.
Which is my exact sentiment. And we were talking about it last night in the newsroom, in the control room a little bit, because we're all jacked up about this draft. My feeling is exactly that. If you're going to take a quarterback at 17, I'm going to lose my mind. Because what you said is, we're willing to let a team jump in front of us between pick 6 and 17 to get the guy that we potentially want. So unless you're going to take your 17th pick, let's say you take a defensive stud at 6, if you don't take that 17th pick and then move up to get the quarterback, if you're going to stand put, then you clearly don't love the guy because you were willing to risk somebody else getting him. And if you don't love the guy, don't draft him.
You know what it also tells me? That Dunleavy, just by the way that I'm interpreting this, and I know we asked him his preference, I think he believes the Giants are going to take Daniel Jones at 17.
I would lose my mind. I would lose my freaking mind.
But then
mind.
Would you be okay if they took him at 6?
If
he doesn't come off to me as a quarterback at 6, though.
If you love the guy, it doesn't matter. Who cares? So people say, oh, you reached. I don't care what people say now. If you get your franchise quarterback that's going to play for 15 years, then history will write itself. Who cares what the prognosticators say now? But if you're going to wait till 17 and risk them taking him, then you don't love him and you shouldn't have taken him in the first place.
I think that shows they don't love any of these quarterbacks. And I think that shows they're not taking a quarterback 6 or 17.
Now,
just in my opinion.
Now, look, if all they had was the 17th pick in the draft, my view would be different.
Yeah.
But the fact that you have another pick changes that completely. It'd be like the Packers taking Aaron Rodgers. No one's going to kill him because they waited. Well, no, that's where their pick was. But we have a pick at 6. So either take the guy you want or don't.
Juwan Taylor goes 7 to the Jaguars. First offensive player taken. How about that at 7? TJ Hockenson, tight end, to the Lions. Montez Sweat to the Bills. And then Drew Lock to Denver. That was an interesting one. That Drew Lock somehow in this exercise ends up being the first quarterback off the board, and it's at number 10.
And what does this say about Dwayne Haskins? As the days inch closer to the draft, no one's talking about this guy.
It was weird because right around the combine time, people were feeling good about Dwayne
loving
Haskins.
Him. Loving him.
This is crazy. Bonkers. Absolutely bonkers. Imagine if Murray and Haskins don't go in the top 10. Now, someone would trade, but hey, we would have it here first, literally.
Those green room shots will be awesome on Thursday.
We wouldn't do this next year. Why? We would be in NFL front offices.
Let's go.
We'll get all the writers employed.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.